Hey, today's daf is Chulin Daf Nun Hey. We left off on the bottom of Daf Nun Dal Ramid Beis, and we had just started the sugya of Ad V'Ad Bechlal or Ad V'Lo Ad Bechlal. So that's going to be our first discussion, because the Gemara had mentioned that the Shita of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is that the shear of a Nekev in the Gargaras in order to make the animal a Trefa is Ke'isar Ha'italki. So the question was, what if it's exactly the size of an Isar Ha'italki? Do we assume Ad Ke'isar Ha'italki includes exactly the size of an Isra Yitalki, ad v'ad b'chlal, or ad v'lo ad b'chlal? So we had said that Rav Nachman apparently holds that ad v'lo ad b'chlal. So the Gemara is going to raise the question of what the general assumption is whenever you have the word ad, and we're going to have several rayas from different Mishnayos throughout Shas. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the halachos of a spleen. What if a spleen gets cut in the animal? Is the animal going to be a trefa? Because the Mishnah had listed amongst one of the items on the list of problems that would not make the animal trefa is if nital hatchul, that if the spleen was taken, was missing, it would not make the animal trefa. So the Gemara is going to discuss, okay, what if it's not missing, but what if it is cut? And then the Gemara is going to discuss different issues with the kidneys, because the Mishnah also said that if the kidneys are missing, that the animal would not be a trefa. And the Gemara is going to discuss other problems that come up with a kidney that might make the animal a trefa, and compare halachos of trefas by a kidney to halachos of trefas by a spleen and to halachos of trefas by lungs. And we're going to see that ultimately you can't really compare the halachos of trefas from one organ to another, because every organ has their own function and their own problems that would be problematic for one organ and not for another. Then the Gemara is going to talk about, in the middle of Amud Beis, if you find that the lungs, you open up the animal, you find that the lungs are all shriveled and dried up. So we make a chilik between what caused that to happen in the animal. There was some sort of fear, some sort of fright that the animal experienced, and it makes a difference whether the fright was bidei shamayim or bidei adam. And the Gemara is going to raise the question, and what if it was bidei some other animal, neither bidei shamayim nor bidei adam? And then the Gemara is going to discuss, for the majority of Amud Beis, actually, for at least the second half of Amud Beis, a skinned animal. An animal is missing all of its skin. So we said that if there's a certain amount left of the skin, then we assume it could still recover and it will not be a trefa. So how much has to be left? Where on the animal? Does it matter where on the animal that skin is left? So that's going to be the last sugya of today's daf. So let's begin. Again, we left off on daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis. We are at Esve Rava L'Rav Nachman. So last one line is Esve, about 6-7 lines before the end of the page, Esve Rava L'Rav Nachman, and what we're in the middle of figuring out is whether we say Ad V'Ad B'Chal or Ad V'Lo Ad B'Chal. So we raise the question when it comes to the halachos of Tumah and Tahara of a bed. So Esve Rava L'Rav Nachman, Rava asked the following from Rav Nachman, that there's a Mishnah that tells us that when you're finished making a bed, when you're Misari Gesamita, they had these posts and they had these ropes that would hold the mattress or the straw in the bed. So Chevel Ayotze Min Amita, if there's one rope that extends beyond the bed, beyond the frame of the bed, Ad Chamisha Tfachim, and it's up until 5 Tfachim, Tahar. Then even if the bed becomes Tameh, that rope is Tahar, because it's not considered to be part of the bed, because it has no Tashmish, it has no Shimush for the bed itself, meaning anything that's going to be secondary to the bed, that's going to be usable as part of a bed function, will be part of the bed, and therefore when the bed becomes Tameh, it will become Tameh as well. But something that has no function as part of the bed is not going to be subject to the Tumantara status of the bed. So if it's up until Chamisha Tfachim, there's no functionality that it can serve the bed with, and therefore, even when the bed becomes Tameh, it is Tahar. So says Mar, my love, Chamisha Kilamata, doesn't Ad Chamisha Tfachim mean that even if it's exactly Chamisha Tfachim, that's also included in the Ad Chamisha Tfachim, that 5 would be the same as 4.9, it would be the same as less than. So you see that Ad, the Ad Bechal, says Mar, lo, Chamisha Kilamayla. Maybe Chamisha is Kilamayla, that it's Ad, V'lo Ad Bechlal. And if it's 5 Tvachim, then it would be the same as being 6 Tvachim or 7 Tvachim. So you have no Raya from there either. So says Mar Tashma, but I'll bring you a Raya from that the Lashon of Ad is Ad V'Ad Bechlal from the Hemshech of that very same Mishnah. Because the Mishnah goes on to say, Mechamisha V'Ad Asara, that if the rope that's sticking out of the bed is somewhere between 5 and up until 10 tefachim, then it, when the bed becomes tame, that rope becomes tame as well, because such a length of a rope can have some use for the bed itself. You could tie the posts of the bed to the bed properly with it, so there you can refasten or something. You can use it for some sort of bed functionality, and since it can be used to function along with the bed, it becomes part of the bed and subject to the tumen taras status of the bed. But over there also, my lav asara kilamata, doesn't ad asara tefachim mean that if it's exactly 10 tefachim, it would be the same as being just under 10 tefachim? Says Marlo, asara kilamaila. No, not at all. Asara means asara kilamaila, that if it's 10, it would be the same as it being 11 tefachim, and therefore it would be tahar if the bed was tameh, because if it's more than 10 tefachim, it has no shimush as part of the bed. It's therefore not considered to be part of the bed, it's considered to be its own independent rope. So the way the Mishnah should be understood is that if it's mechamisha tefachim u'mayla, it's tameh until it reaches 10 tefachim. But once it reaches 10 tefachim, from that point forward, it's going to be tar. So the lashon ad in the Mishnah is ad v'lo ad bechlal. So that is that's the raya from that Mishnah. Now we move on to a raya from a different Mishnah. The halacha is when it comes to tumas shratzim, the pasuk says kol kli cheres ashiipol me'amel tov. That any kli cheres is not mekabel tuma unless it has a base kibul, because the whole way that it's mekabel tuma is through the inside of the kli. So the kli needs to have a base kibul in order for it to be mekabel tuma. So and once a kli cheres is mekabel tuma, there's no tara b'mikveh. You have to shvirasam zui tarasam. The only way to be metarit it is by breaking it. So, but from the fact that the pasuk says v'chol kli cheres, the Chazal darshan that even shivrei kli cheres can be mekabel tumah, even broken shards of a kli cheres, so long as they're still somewhat usable, that they could still hold something similar to what they used to hold when they were not broken. So the Mishnah, the second parak of Maseches Kelim, discusses how much liquid has to be held in a shever of a kli cheres in order for that shever to be mekabel tuma. So from that Mishnah, we're going to bring a raya about ad v'ad b'chal or ad v'lo ad b'chal. So tashma, we bring a raya from the Mishnah as follows. Hadakin sheba kli cheres, small kli cheres, hain, whether it's a kli cheres itself, v'karkar osehen, or whether it just be the bottom part of a broken kli, v'dofen osehen, or whether it be the walls of a broken kli, yoshvin shalom misumachin, as long as the broken parts of the kli are able to rest on the ground and hold something even without being supported by something else. They don't need to be propped up by some sort of base or anything. Shi'uran b'kdei sichas katan, the ad lug, the shear of such broken kalim, if they can still hold oil that would be enough to be to anoint a small limb of a baby, that's still considered to be substantial, and therefore and if it could hold up until a shear of a lug, so that's considered to be substantial, and the kli would be able to be mekabel tuma. But a kli cheres that when it were whole could hold more than a lug, then the broken parts of the kli that could hold oil, kedei sichas katan, are not going to be mekabel tuma. So because people wouldn't use the broken parts of the kli that are left from a very large kli to hold similar items. So it's only when the kli, when it was shalem, could hold a lug, up until a lug, do we say that a broken piece of a kli, if it has enough to hold the shir sichas ever katan, is going to be mekabel tuma. So because that's it's feasible that it would be used in that way. So my lav log kilamata isn't when the Mishnah is saying that if it's that when it's shalim it can hold a log, that would be the same as holding just under a log, and therefore the broken pieces, if it could hold shir sicha sever katan, would be mekabel tuma. So the Mishnah is telling us that a kli that when it's shalim could hold up until a log, including exactly a log, then the broken pieces, as long as they could hold kedei sichas ever katan, would be able to be mekabel tuma. And the lashon of ad in the Mishnah is ad v'ad bechlal, against Rav Nachman, who said when it came to the Isur Talki of the Grogros of ad v'lo ad bechlal, says more lo kilamayla, lo kilamayla. Maybe log means means kilamayla, that if the kli, when it is whole, can hold up until a log, but not including a log, then a broken piece of the kli that can hold the shir sicha sever katan is going to be mekabel tuma. But if the kli, when it's whole, holds a log or more, then it's the broken pieces of the kli are not going to be mekabel tuma, because it wouldn't ever be used for that purpose. A larger kli, it would never dawn on a person to use a broken piece of a larger kli for a small amount of shemen. So says Mar Tashma, will come bring another raya as it relates to ad va'ad bechlal. Log ad sa'a. Let's say you have a kli that when it was shalem could hold somewhere between a log and a sa'a. So berevius. Then the shear of the shvarim of the broken pieces in order for it to be makabel tuma is a shear that it could hold a revius. So my lav sa'a kilamata. Doesn't sa'a mean, isn't the halachic status of a kli that could hold a sa'a the same as the halachic status of a kli that could hold just under a sa'a? So we say milog v'ad sa'a means up until and including a sa'a, ad v'ad bechlal, says against Rav Nachman, well, ad v'lo ad bechlal, says, well, lo, sa'a kilamayla. No, sa'a means, kilamayla, it means up until a sa'a, but not including a sa'a. And a sa'a would be like something that could hold more than a sa'a, where a broken piece of it that could hold only a revius would not be enough for it to be makabel tuma. So Tashma says, well, I'll bring another raya. Sa'a, the same idea, same discussion. Sa'a v'yad sasayim. Let's say the kli, when it was whole, could hold between a sa'a and sasayim. Then b'chatzi lug. Then the broken pieces are still makabel tuma if they could hold a chatzi lug in the broken pieces. So my love sasayim kilamata, doesn't sa'ad sasayim mean that up until and including sasayim, because if it holds exactly two sa'a, it's the same as holding 1.9 sa'a. Says more lo sasayim kilamayla. No, maybe if it could hold sasayim, that would be like holding more than sasayim, and it's ad v'lo ad bichlal, exactly like Rav Nachman had said. So I asked the Gemara Vatanya, but we have a brisa that tells us in all three of these shiurim that we just gave. Again, in all three of these cases, what we're trying to show is that broken pieces of a kli cheres can be mekabel tuma as long as they still have a similar functionality to what they had when they were a full kli. So if the kli was too big when it was a full kli, and then the broken piece it's too small, even if it has some functionality, but it's not a similar functionality to what it had when it was large, is not going to be mekabel tuma. So we had these three different shiurim. We had up until the log, up until the sa'a, up until sasayim. So those were the shiurim of when the kli is whole. So how small of a broken piece from such kalim would still be able to be mekabel tuma? Sicha sefer katan, revius, chatzi log. Right, those were the shiurim that we had of what a broken piece of a kli would be. So we wanted to say in all three of those cases, we wanted to suggest that really it's ad v'lo ad b'chlal, that it's kilamayla, that all those shiurim are when we say up until a log, it means a kli that could hold up until a log, it means that up until but not including a log. But v'atani, we have a brisa that says explicitly log kilamata, sa'a kilamata, sasayim kilamata, that in all three of those shiurim, it's ad v'yad b'chlal, that against Rav Nachman, that in all three of those cases, we say that the brisa explicitly says that we say ad v'yad b'chlal. So it's all a kasha on Rav Nachman, because Rav Nachman held, when it came to the halachos of trefos, ad v'lo ad b'chlal. So says the Gemara, no, you can't bring a raya from any of this with regard to what the word ad means in all of Shas. Hasam l'chumra. Amar Rabbi Yavoh, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol shiurei chachamim lahachmir, chutz mikagrish shel ksamim, except for grish shel ksamim lahakel. So when we talk about the broken pieces of a kli cheres, it's ad v'yad b'chlal, because in that way it's going to be a greater chumra, that a broken piece from a larger kli is able to be mekabel tuma when it has a smaller amount of liquid in it. And the shear of the chisaron of a behemah also becomes the trefa that Rav Nachman was talking about by saying ad velo ad bechlal, it's saying that even a smaller hole in the gargaris of the animal is going to make the animal a trefa. So whenever we're going l'chumra, we would say ad velo ad bechlal l'chumra, but we'd also say ad viad bechlal l'chumra, because the shiurim are always meant l'chumra. So it's not necessarily a raya, just the fact that we're going l'chumra in these instances of what the word ad means in general. Because any time the Chacham gives shir in a, it's a discussion what it means by Chachamim, whether it's Dafka in Mishnayos or Brisos or even in Amoraim, Tosa seems to assume Mishnayos or Brisos. Other Rishonim suggest that even in Amoraim. But whenever the Chachamim, whoever those Chacham are, give a shir about Tuma or about Isser, which are problem issues midaraisa, we always assume that the shir is given as a chumra, and we should be machmir in terms of adviad bechal or advilo ad bechal, except for the gris shel ksamim where we're making the shir of a gris by a kesem. We actually alluded to the other day that if a stain of that if a woman finds a stain of dam on a beged, so if it's smaller than a gris va'od, smaller than a gris va'od, we assume that she's tahora. Now the shear is a gris, but we assume no. Up until a gris and including a gris, she's still tahor. It's only a gris va'od that's going to make her tummy. The Chum were extra makel when it came to the din of ksamim. Why are they extra makel when it came to the din of ksamim? Because the whole thing is only a din midrabanan. The pasuk says isha kitiyazava dami yazava bivsara. The Gemara needed dafnun zayin darshins bivsara ache targish bivsara. That a woman only becomes a nida when she has what's called a hargasha. Big discussion in Rishonim and Achronim, Pischi Tshuva, quotes three deos, what exactly a hargasha is, whether it's a margeshes dover lach, zav mimenu mibifnim, that she feels some sort of flow of moisture, or she's margeshes psichas hamakor, she feels the opening of the uterus that happening, or she nizdaz a gufa, she feels that her body trembles in some way, whatever the different shitos are of hargasha, but a woman only becomes a nida d'oraisa when there is a hargasha. It was a chumra midrabanan that they said that, now, you know what, even if she just had dam that came from the uterus but was not accompanied by argasha, she's still going to be tame. So she didn't feel the dam, she just found the dam, she's still going to be tame midrabanan. It's a big question why it is that nowadays we assume that a woman is tame midaraisa when she becomes a nida. If you were to ask a real actual human woman whether she experiences hargasha, you know, what it feels like when her body trembles, when the blood leaves the uterus and goes through the cervix, she would say she doesn't feel the body tremble when the blood leaves the uterus and goes through the cervix. So why is it that that a woman is tamei midaraisa? We assume that when a woman gets a regular period, she is tamei midaraisa, but it's a good question why. So the standard answer that's given is that hargasha is not a siba, it's a simen. It's not what makes a woman an ida, it's a simen that's her actual flow of dam. But if you know that she's having her flow of dam, even without argasha, she would still be an ida. But stam, finding a stain, is only a din midrabanan. So because the rabbanan knew that the whole thing was a chumra, that they included a whole bunch of kulas. And one of the kulas that they included is that they were never gozer on a stain that's smaller than a gris va'od. Why were they never gozer on a stain that's smaller than a gris va'od? Because there's actually a discussion in Rishonim, Big Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, why it is in general that Chum made this whole gzeira at all of ksamim, right? Is it that we're choshesh that she had dilma argasha v'lavadaita? Maybe she had a hargasha and she just didn't realize that she had a hargasha. That's how Rashi says, and Tosfos says no. The assumption is that even if she knows for sure that she didn't have hargasha, the Chum were gozer. It's not just a chashash. But why were they so make? Where did they come up with that shear of a gris va'od? So the Gemara explains that they used to have a bug called the macholas, and it used to be very common. And whenever they would crush this bug, it would leave a stain that was the size of a gris va'od. So when a woman would see such a stain that's so small, so we could assume that it probably didn't come from her body; it probably came from crushing such a bug. which makes that sound like the whole din of a stain, pachas migris va'od, is a din in tliya. That whenever you have any other explanation of where the blood came from, we assume the woman's not a nida. If a woman finds a dam on her sheets and she wakes up and she has a cut on her finger and it was bleeding all night, so you could assume the dam came from the cut on her finger. You don't have to assume that the dam came from her uterus, right? So that's a general din called tliya. Whenever there's something else reasonable to be tola, where the dam came from, you don't have to assume that it came from the uterus. So it sounds like the din of Kegris is a din in Tliya, but it's not. Because nowadays we don't have Ma'acholos anymore. And a Tliya has to be reasonable. We don't have these bed bugs that we're crushing all over the place anymore. So it's not a reasonable thing anymore. So you have to say that because they had a Ma'acholos, that's what motivated them to never be Gozer Ksamim on such small stains. But they were never Gozer Ksamim on such small stains. They're Nafkaminas. A Tliya, you're not supposed to rely on. The Rama writes, you don't rely on a Tliya in the first 3 days of Shiva Nekim. But we do rely on Pachas Migris Vod in the first 3 days of Shiva Nekim. Or for example, the Dam Ma'acholos is red. We passing that black dam is also tame. What if a woman finds a stain of black dam that's pachas migris? It can't be tola and a macholas, but it will still be tar because Chazal was simply not gozer on that which is pachas migris va'od. So anyway, so that's the only shear that said lahakel. All the other shearim are lahachmir. Dekanami diktani ala dahi chamisha kilamayla asara kilamata, and the raya that it's that the lashon ad could mean different things in different contexts depending on whether it's a chumra or a kula is based on the mission that we quoted by the bed, by the ropes that were coming out of the bed, where we said that chamisha is kilamayla. Ad chamisha meant that chamisha is considered is up until and not including chamisha. But then we said mi chamisha viad asara, and it meant up until and including asara. So even within the same sentence, it meant within the same mishnah, it meant different things. So that's why we see that there you can't bring a raya from any of this about what the shear, what ad means in general. Okay, nital hatchol. If the spleen is removed, so we said it does not make the animal a trefa. So Amar Avir Mishmei Derava Lo Shanu Ela Nital Aval Nikav Trefa. If there's a hole in the spleen, then it would be a trefa. So better to remove the entire spleen, the animal won't be a trefa, than for the animal to have a hole in the spleen. So Mas Rabbi Yosi Bar Avin V'yitem Rabbi Yosi Bar Zvida. The following, chotech me uber shebeme eha. If you have a cut off piece of a fetus that's inside the mother, mutter ba'achila. When you shech the mother, that part of the fetus that was cut off from the rest of the fetus still becomes mutter ba'achila with the shechita of the mother. But minatchol, minaklayos, if you cut off a piece of the spleen or a piece of the kidneys while it's inside the mother animal and then you shech the mother, asur ba'achila. You're not allowed to eat the spleen or the kidney that's floating around inside the animal. It's an isra of Ever Menachai, because the behema became chaser from that chituch, from that cutting of the spleen or the kidneys, and therefore the shchita does not take it out of the category of Ever Menachai. Whatever is nechsar begufa, whatever has a chisaron in its guf, is not considered to be taken out of the category of Ever Menachai. Habehema gufa sharia, but from the lashon of the Mishnah, it sounds like only the broken piece that's floating around in there is also ba'achila, but the rest of the behema is mutter ba'achila. Aye, but isn't it a trefa? If you cut off a piece of the spleen, wouldn't it make it a trefa? So how can you say that if you cut off a piece of the spleen and it's floating around inside the animal, that, yeah, that piece of the spleen you're not allowed to eat, but the rest of the animal you are allowed to eat, shouldn't the animal be a trefa? Says Maravadin, dafil behema nami asira. Don't make that diuk. The halacha is that the animal is also asir. The whole thing is asir. It's a trefa. I did tana resha, mutar b'achila, tana nami seifa, asir b'achila. But since the resha used the lashon mutar b'achila, Sefer use the lashon of asur b'achila, but really that it has an isur of Ever Menachai. But really, the whole rest of the animals also asur, just for a different reason. V'iba yisema, or you could suggest nikav l'chud v'nechtach l'chud, that there's a difference between a puncture of the spleen, which would in fact make the animal a trefa, and a cut off piece of the spleen, which would not make the animal a trefa. Rav Zilberstein discusses what happens if an animal has an extra organ that it doesn't need. Let's say an animal has two spleens, and one of them has a puncture in it. So would you assume that that too would make the animal trefa? So he quotes a Tshuva Tzemach Tzedek, not Milubavitch. the Tzemach Tzedek, the Kadmon, that if there's an extra Eiver, in a way that it's not much of the Behema, because even if you were to take it away, it would not be Trefa. So if, as long as you could tell which one is the extra one, then even if it's Nikev, even if it has a hole in it, it would not be a problem. Meaning, what does it mean, as long as you could tell which one is the extra one? One of them is much larger and obviously provides the majority of the functionality, and the other one is just clearly a smaller one and extra. So that's what Tzemach Tzedek writes, that then all these halachas of trefas wouldn't apply to that extra limb. So the Mitzvah Eisan points out that seems to be against our Gemara, because our Gemara says Nital Tchul Ksheira Kasher, and we said Amar Rav Yirmiyahu Shmei D'Rava, that's only Nital, but Nikav is Trefa. And we asked from the case of Chotech Mei Ubar Shebemei Eha that it's Mutar Ba'achila, and we said, but wait, if you're Chotech from the spleen, the large animal is still Mutar Ba'achila, how could it be Mutar Ba'achila if a spleen is cut? By definition it's a Trefa. So says Ms. Payson, why didn't the Gemara just answer, we're talking about a second spleen, we're talking about an animal that had two spleens, so that's why it didn't make it a trefa. So it must be that if it has two spleens and there's a hole in either one of them, it would still be a trefa. I don't know if that's the greatest raya. The Gemara didn't think to talk about such a weird animal that had two spleens. Why would the Gemara talk about a regular animal that has the normal number of organs? But that's what the Mitzvah Eisan suggests. Okay, says the Gemara further now, nitla klayos, if the kidneys are removed, we do not assume that the animal is a trefa. Amar rachas bar pav mishmei drav lux b'kulia achas. If it has some sort of injury in one of the kidneys, trefa, it will be a trefa. Ami b'mar rava v'hu d'matoy l'kusa. That's only when d'matoy l'kusa l'makom charetz. That's only if the ailment that it has in the kidney extends all the way to the makom charetz of the kidney, which is right in the middle of the kidney. V'heicha makom charetz l'chivara d'tusei masni. It's the part that's whitened by the intestines that are right underneath it. So it's a part of the kidney, right in the center of the kidney. So if the lakusa extends all the way there, then you know that that's a bad injury, and that would make the animal a trefa. We asked all of the trufa'i in Ma'arava. So this, the Chida points out that this apparently was an old minhag. Chida writes in Birka Yosef that they had special batei hora'a just for hilchas trefas. That was the most common shaila. So I guess Rabbanim were busy with all the other shailas, so they had regular Rabbanim to deal with everything else, and special batei hora'a just to deal with hilchas trefas. It's a good question whether that's appropriate or not, meaning should you have special batei hora'a for specific areas of halacha in general. The Rambam writes in the fourth paragraph of the Sanhedrin, halacha ches, that you're not supposed to be appoint someone to be more l'dvarim yechidim, for individual areas of halacha, because that's not the way Torah works. Divrei Torah, aniyim b'makom echad, ashirim b'makom acher. If you don't have a good picture of kol haTorah, of the way all of the entire system of halacha works, no matter how much expertise you have in a single area, it's not really expertise, because you don't get a real sense. We were just talking to Rav Asher Weiss last week, and we were talking about the style of different svarim, and he said he has no doubt that when the style of svarim nowadays is that they're likutim svarim, you know, where they collect all of the material that there is to know. He had in his office my friend Rabbi Ari Wasserman wrote two fat volumes called the Otzer Akipa on male head coverings on yarmulkes. Two fat volumes on yarmulkes. There's no doubt that Rabbi Wasserman knows more about yarmulkes than Rav Asher Weiss does. Right? There's no doubt. I mean, he spent years studying yarmulkes. I mean, it's just... Rav Asher said, I have no doubt that Yavin Avreichen Kolel spent 3 years learning about a topic. He knows more about that topic than I know. But it doesn't mean he can paskin about that topic, because his knowledge of Kol HaTorah Kula is not the same. In order to be machriya a halacha, so to collect and to put together, that's fine, that's great. But to paskin about something, that's where you need gedolei hara'a, because you need someone who has a broader picture. So it's interesting that they used to have these places where they specialize in the hilchos trefos. So the Shach writes in Yarden, in Rishman Beis, that nowadays, since we don't have a din of smicha, it's only in netilas rishus, you could be no tel rishus. A person can have smicha in just bas v'chalv and taroves. A person can have smicha in some area of halacha. But that's not really the way it's meant to be. That's not really the way a posik is supposed to work. So that's an issue if someone... So we're makel. We allow someone to get smicha in just bas v'chalv and taroves, but that's only after years of study in yeshiva in all sorts of topics, in nashim and nizik and everything else. Okay, so he's not an expert in everything else, but he has some sort of a broad base of knowledge. But a person's only going can study a particular area of halacha without having studied, without having seen, you know, what's out there in all of Shas. So that's that you can't trust on the Pesach Halacha at all for anything, even in that area of expertise. So anyway, so they went to the Kulu Trufay de Marava. They went to all of the great experts in Luchos Shefos in Eretz Yisrael. V'amali Hilchsa Kerach Shvar Papa. We passed on the Kerach Shvar Papa that Lakusha Bekilia makes the animal a trefa, that a kidney injury makes the animal a trefa. V'lechsa Hilchsa Kerach Shvar Vira. But we don't pass on the Kerach Shvar Vira that a hole in the spleen makes the animal a trefa. Lo Amaran Ela Bekulshe. That this idea that Allah is not like Rav Avira, and the behemoth that has a hole in the spleen is going to be kosher, is only in a place where the spleen is at its narrower point. Aval besumche, but in the upper part of the spleen that's wider, trefa. The hole in that part of the spleen would in fact make it a trefa. V'yishtayir be'ka'ovei dina zahav. And if the needle that makes a hole in the spleen on the wider point doesn't come out the other side of the wide part of the spleen, and it doesn't get to the end of it, so rather there's still a thickness of a dinar zahav under that hole, then ksheira, because it's not going to be a nekev mfulish, it's not going to be a nekev that gets all the way through. Amri b'marava, kalaposel bereya, kosher b'kulya. Everything that would be a problem with a lung is not a problem when it comes to a kidney. Shari nekev posel bereya, a hole in the lung would make the lung posel, v'kosher b'kulya, but would not be a problem when it comes to a kidney. V'kolshkein hecha de kosher bereya, kosher b'kulya. Certainly anything that's kosher in the lung is going to be kosher on the kidney as well. So maskev rav tanchuma uklalahu, is this really a klal that we can learn from the Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael, that a pagam that would not make the animal a trefa when it happens in the lung also does not make the animal a trefa when it happens in the kidney? Vahare mugla, what if there's a certain mucus that's like has a honey-like substance? The kasher bereya, if it's found in a lung, the animal is not a trefa. Upasul bakulya, but a similar type of substance found in the kidney will make the animal a trefa. So you do see that there's something that will not be a problem in the kidney, but will be a problem. Will not be a problem in the lung, but will be a problem in the kidney. Vare mayim zakin diksherim hacha vahacha. And what if you have clear water in the limbs of an animal that is kasher both in the lung and in the kidney? Rashi points out it's unclear what that kasha is about, meaning so what? So you have something that's not a problem in either one. That doesn't go against anything that we said. So that the Achronim work on to try to figure out what that kasha is about. So Elam Ravashi Trefus Kamadam Sadadi. Ravashi says, what, he's trying to compare Hilchos Trefus from one place to the other? Einom Trefus Zu Dom Lezu. Shari Chodcha Mikan, Umesa, Chodcha Mikan, V'chaisa. You can't compare Hilchos Trefus to each other, because look, you know, you can cut an animal in one part of the body and the animal will live, and the same cut you make in another part of the body, the animal will die. Every organ has a different function, and there are different problems that will cause it to shut down and cause it not to function properly and cause the animal to die. So you can't make any such comparisons. Umayim Zakin, and when we said that if there is a clear water in the limbs and it's kosher, la maranello de tzili, that's only if the water is clear. Avalachiri, but if the water is clouded, trefa, then it's going to be a trefa. V'chisili namila maranello de lo sariach, and even clear water is only if it doesn't smell. Aval sariach trefa, if it's smelly water, it's going to be a trefa. Hakul yeshektina kid bedaka. Let's say you have a kidney that has shrunk in a small animal. Ad kipul, as long as it's at least the size of a pull of a bean, it's still big enough that the animal's not a trefa. Begasa, if it's a larger animal, ad ka'anava beinonis. It has to still be the size of an anava beinonis. That's the shear of hiskatnos that would make the animal a trefa. When a kidney stops to function, it stops to do anything, it just shrivels up and it becomes smaller. I spent Shabbos with a guy a couple of weeks ago at a bar mitzvah. He told me that he's a kidney recipient. His son actually down in the shul here gave him a kidney. So he's a kidney recipient. He told me, I've got three kidneys, because they don't take the other two out when they give the new one. So he said that he asked the doctor, what happens to the other two? So he told him, you know, when you check your Esrog box a year later and you left your Esrog in there from last year, that's what happens to your kidneys. That becomes so that's what happens. So as long as it maintains a certain size, it would still function. Okay, nita lechia tachtom. If the lower jaw of the animal is removed, it also does not become a trefa. So, Rabbi Zeira lo shanu Ella yichala lichios al yedei li'ita. That's only if the animal could still live by putting food in the mouth where it could still spit it out. V'hamra'a, or sticking it all the way down where it's not going to be able to spit it out and will be able to digest the food. V'lein yichala lichos al yedei li'ita v'hamra'a, treifa. But if the animal is not able to live by feeding it in some way or another, then it's going to be a treifa. Nitla eim shala. We then said if the uterus was removed from the animal, then it's going to be it's not going to be a treifa. So tana hi ha'eim, hi tarpachas, hi shalpuchas. That in different places in this Masechta, you'll see different words that all mean the same thing. So just alerting us to that fact. The charusa bidei shemayim ksheira. We also had said that if an animal's lungs had shriveled because of some fright that it had, if the fright came bidei shemayim from the sound of thunder or something, then the animal is going to be kosher. So tan rabbanan ezuhu charusa. What does charusa mean? Kol shetzamka reya shala, that the lung has shriveled. So bidei shemayim ksheira. If it happened because of something that happened bidei shemayim, then it's going to be kosher. But bidei adam treifa. If it happened because of something that a person did to it, a person frightened the animal, then it's going to be a treifa. Rav Zilberstein explains that maybe the pshat is, I mean, why would it make a difference whether it happened bidei shemayim, bidei adam, that sometimes animals are attuned to natural occurrences before they happen. They say, like, before an earthquake, an animal starts running the other way. People didn't feel the earthquake yet. Before a tsunami, the animals sense that it's going to happen. So it could be that when something's happening bidei shemayim, the animal braces itself for it. So maybe it's able to withstand it a little bit more than when it happens bidei adam, where it happens very suddenly to the animal. Maybe. That even bidei kolabriel. So what does he mean, even bidei kolabriel? What happens if another animal frightens it? So yibayiluhu, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, areisha koyilukula o aseifa koyilukumra. Is he saying that bidei kolabriel is like it happening bidei shemayim, and therefore it's okay, or it's like it happening bidei adam? So tashma, detanya. That bidei kolabrios is like bidei adam, and it's therefore going to make the animal a treifa. Rabbi Baruch Hanan was in the midbar, and he found rams, the tzamek rea ditu, whose lungs were shriveled, and he didn't know whether it was bidei shemayim or bidei adam, so he didn't know what to do. So asa shal bei midrash, he went and he asked the shaylan bei midrash, amrulei, so he said to him, here's how you test. Bekaita aisi mishichli chivari. In the summertime, you should bring a white bowl, umalinu mayakriri, and fill it with cold water, because the white bowl will be able to maintain the coolness of the water. Va'anchinu me'is la'is, and leave the lungs in that bowl of cool water for 24 hours. Ihadrin baryon, if they appear to become healthy again, so then bidei shemayim. Then you know that the fright must have been bidei shemayim, and uksheva, and it's kosher. Vi'ilo, treifa, and if it doesn't go back to what it's supposed to look like, then it's a treifa. Besitva, if it's the winter time, I see mishichli shichumi, bring a black bowl, umalinu, that will maintain the heat, even though it's winter time. Umalinu mayip shuri, and put lukewarm water in it, va'anchinu me'is leis, and put the lungs in that water for 24 hours, ihadrabarya, ksheira vi'ilo, treifa. And if it gets better, then it's kosher, and if not, then it's a treifa. Hagluda, then we spoke about an animal that is gluda, that is missing its skin. So says the Gemara, Tan Rabban, Hagluda or Meir Machshir v'Cham Posel. Now is the Machlokes for Meir and the Cham, whether it's kosher or not. Ukvar Heir Elazar Safra, the Yochanan ben Gudgada, ala Gluda Shepsula. Amr Shim ben Elazar, Chazar Bo Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir changed his mind that he was Machshir, the animal that was missing its skin, and ultimately he also said that it's Aser. Mechlal did the Rabbi Shim ben Elazar, Palig Rabbi Meir, Begluda. But that makes it sound like Rabbi Shimon Elazar thinks that Meir maintained his position and still argues about a gluda. But I, Vatanya, we have a brisa. I'm Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Lo nechleku Rameir v'cham ala gluda shepsula. Ukvar hei Rabbi Shai b'nol shal Rabbi Yehuda habesam lefnei Rabbi Akiva mishum Rabbi Tafron ala gluda shepsula. V'im nishtayir bo selak sheira. That if it's totally skinned, it's possible. And even Rabbi Meir agrees to that. Only if you have a little bit of skin left that's the size of a cella, is it going to be kosher? So according to the Braisa, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar also thinks that Rabbi Meir ultimately agreed. That Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar does not think that it's still a machlokes. So I'm Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak, my lo nechleku lo amad Rabbi Meir b'machlokaso. It means that, not that he never disagreed, he did disagree, but ultimately he was not omed in that machlokes. Ultimately he went back to agree. but it doesn't mean that he never disagreed. Rav Shimon Elazar would agree that Rav Meir at some point disagreed. Amar Marim, Nishtayer bo selak sheira, sahecha, where does that sela of skin have to be? Amar Avidam Rishmuel, al panei ashidra kula, along the entire length of the spine. Ibayilu, dark, mekatzin dechim, sarvilu kasela, does that mean a very narrow strip along the length of the spine that it takes up in its entirety an area of a sela? Odilma, berochav sela, al panei ashidra kula, or maybe it has to be the width of a sela along the entire length of the spine in order for it to be okay. So it says Mar Tashma, the parish Rabbi Nurai Mishmei de Shmuel, berochav kasela, al panei kol ashidra kula, that it's the width of a sela across the whole length of the spine of healthy skin. Rabbi Bechana Amar Rashi Prakim, that it has to be that this healthy skin has to be by the Rashi Prakim, the tips of the limbs of the animal. Amar Makom Tiburo, that the healthy skin has to be in the middle of the animal's belly. So Rabbi Yane raised the following shayla. According to Shmuel, who requires that the skin has to be remaining along the length of the spine, nital makom ashedra v'kulo kayim. What if that was the only skin missing along the length of the spine, and the rest of the animal's skin was still there? Would that be enough? Do we say that that's the critical skin that's able to grow back, or is it that no? Even if that's all that's remaining, it would be kosher. Or nital makom tiburo v'kulo kayim, or nitlu rashi prakim v'kulo kayim mai. Meaning any of these critical parts where you said that the skin has to be there in order for it to be able to grow back. What if that's the only part that's missing, and the skin is there in the rest of the body? Would that be a trefa or not? Teku, the Gemara leaves that unresolved. So Be'ez Hashem will pick up from there tomorrow with Amar Rav.